Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Acts chapter 23, where Paul learns it was all part of the plan. Have you ever been kept in the dark as to what the plan was? Sometimes, parents will surprise kids with Disneyland trips the morning of. Or if you've ever been praying, do you know what it's like to be kept in the dark long enough to make you really worry, but then there's that moment when you're let in on what was really going on? Paul is about to learn what God's plan was all along as he stands in front of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish governing power to put Jesus to death. Verse 1. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this point, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewash wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding I be struck?" Those who were standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" But Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" There's nothing to rattle your cages more than being punched on the mouth, right? The second Paul opens his, it's shut for him by an angry fist. And Paul's temper gets the best of him, and he pops back. "God will strike you, you whitewash wall." Paul was right, but that doesn't mean it wasn't wrong to say. And Paul apologizes quickly when rebuked for disrespecting the high priest, a sign both of his humility and respect for God's law. But this momentary pause gives Paul a chance to reassess his strategy. Verse 6, "Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, 'My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead.' When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously, 'We find nothing wrong with this man,' they said. 'What if a spirit or angel has spoken to him?' The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks." Okay, we all know that Paul was a master strategist, but in the face of a very hostile situation, Paul pranks the Pharisees and Sadducees, knowing that there was no good outcome to the hearing he was walking into. So he takes a theological grenade, the resurrection of the dead, pulls the pin, and throws it into the middle of the room, knowing that it would not only create a flashbang, but also a smokescreen. But now, it's time for the smoke to clear for Paul personally, as God lets him in on the plan and the joke. Verse 11. "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" Despite the hostility Paul was facing, God tells him this was all part of the plan, Paul. God tells him, "You must also testify of me in Rome." How encouraging. Remember, friends, when you can't see the reason that things are happening to you, there's a chance it's all still part of the plan. At least it was in Paul's case. Sometimes there's a divine conspiracy. God is up to something, something secret. And we just haven't been let in on the plan yet. Well, if you like conspiracies, here's one for you in verse 12. "The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and the elders and said, 'We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we've killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here.'" But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him." So he took him to the commander. Note, the young man tells the commander about the danger Paul is in, and the commander acts to keep Paul safe in verse 23. Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, "Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide horses for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix." He wrote a letter as follows: "Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency Governor Felix. Greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and they were about to kill him. But I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found the accusation had nothing to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him." So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day, they let the cavalry go with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers get here." Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Wow! Talk about maneuvering chess pieces into place on the board. We've seen Paul's strategy, but now God's strategy is in play. Paul knows that he's headed to Rome now because God's let him in on the secret. But now Paul knows how it's going to turn out. He's on his way to Rome via Herod's palace. He's going to keep being moved about. And through it all, Paul is chill. Why? Because he's been let in on the secret. He knows how the story ends. "You must testify of me in Rome." You know, when my wife and I read The Hunger Games together, she was sweating bullets trying to figure out if Katniss Everdeen would survive the games as tribute. But years later, we watched the movie with our teenage daughter, and because she hadn't read the book, she sweated through all three films anxious for Katniss to make it. My wife and I, however, leaned back, grabbed the popcorn, and simply enjoyed the ride. We had already read the book. We knew how the story ended. Paul was let in on the story's end, the plan. He could sit back, rest easy, and enjoy the ride, albeit a bumpy one to Rome, where Jesus told him he'd be able to testify. Well, friends, that's all we have for today. But I hope that you've been able to sit back, rest easy, and enjoy the ride today on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.